Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thank you for tuning in or listening into the Debunker Boys show. Once again, my name is Ryan Guzzo, whatever the hell you want to call me. Along with me is Robert, Debunker Bob, or Bunker Bob, that was it. And
that's Robert, Bob, whatever.
Yeah, we couldn't come on last week. We unfortunately, our star guest had to cancel, and you know, we were kind of left with, you know, sitting there with our thumbs up our asses. But this week we thought we'd talk a little bit about religion and the effects it has on the human mind, as well as general populace, organized religion. And I called up our friend Reverend Bradley Luoma. Am I saying that right, Brad? Reverend?
Yes, you are.
Luoma? Okay. I called him up and said, hey, you know, do you want to talk back on our show? If you listen back a few shows back, we had him on talking about exorcisms, and he had some very strong facts and opinions on his views on exorcisms, demons, and, you know, pretty much the whole ghost realm, paranormal realm. So thanks again for coming on and taking this time with us. I know it was kind of short notice.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So Robert, actually last time Robert, he couldn't talk most of the show because he had some home front issues and that he was dealing with. But he had some things he kind of wanted to bring up to you, Brad, if that was all right.
Certainly.
And I can barely remember what they were. let's see.
No, seriously, it's been so long ago.
Yeah, it has.
Oh, yeah. There was the spirit, demon, angel thing that I couldn't wrap my head around. I've been doing a lot of research on. You spoke of, so there are no real spirits out there. They're either demons or they're angelic beings. Is that what we were talking about?
Well, the last time I was on the radio show, we were talking and I was explaining to you and as well as the fellow listeners, my opinion has formed from very staunch religious beliefs as well as multitudes of exorcisms that I've done. And I've had different entities through people physically explain to me how they've come to these people and why they're there. See, part of the exorcism process is you have to break the legal rights that the demonic entity is claiming to the human body or the human soul. You have to break it. So when they tell you that they came as a little child or they came as another being which they may not have recognized, it was done in purpose to break that person down, to start to process a formation of a friendship, a bond, something that they can use to have a common scenario. And I'll give you an example. This Monday I'll be traveling down to Cincinnati. The woman who I'm going to work with, I can't release any more information than saying a few things. She woke up about a year ago to her best friend standing in her bedroom at 11:30 at night at the foot of her bed. She popped straight out of bed. She said something wasn't right. Her best friend was standing at the foot of the bed, and she proceeded to tell me this story. She said, wait a minute, my best friend is at work and is 45 minutes away from me. Why are you standing at the foot of my bed? And she looked over and she grabbed her watch. She picked up her watch and she said it was 11:30 or 12 o'clock. She doesn't remember exactly what it was. And then she looked back and she said, what are you doing here? And she said this woman's name. And Then she said, I know it's not you. She said the woman's name. And she said, I rebuke you in the name of, and before she could get done saying the words Jesus Christ, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, she said this thing split down the middle like a pistachio shell. And she said both sides of her friend, left side and right side, split, went down, and she said she literally saw what she considers Satan to be standing in front of her.
That's,
and she said, it got worse from there. And I received a text message today from the husband saying, I physically watched this afternoon a spider demon crawling all over my six-year-old daughter. This thing is showing its true face to the daughter and to the mother. The mother will go into possession while I talk to her on the phone. She will tell me I'm getting physically sick and there's something screaming inside of me. It hates you and it's pissed off. And I said, I understand. They don't like me. So to answer your question, what you posed to me is, that is true. There are no such things as ghosts. It's physically, when we die, we face judgment for our sins. And when we die, in this world, we're given free will. We have the choice to do things our way, and that's what God gave us, because he loves us enough to say, I'm going to let you do what you need to do, but I hope you choose to come back to me. Or you can follow my instructions, follow the gifts that I've given you, the prophets, and follow and choose the way of my son. Now, listen, we all fall short of the glory of God. Even I fall short of the glory of God. I'm not here to say I'm like Jesus Christ. I'm far from it. But God gives us a choice between free will and human will. So when you do pass on, you no longer have free will. It's done. Now it's God's will. You have to pay for your sins. You have to. You have no choice. So in that spirit realm then, you are not going to linger around. God is a supreme being. His decisions are final. You will either face heaven or hell. Jesus made it very crystal clear in the scriptures. The prophets made it crystal clear in the scriptures as to what's going to happen. So then what is it that is truly coming to these people? Well, we talked about this in the other conversation that I represented many weeks ago, that God knew everybody before they were formed and they were created in the image of man. Well, the demons and the fallen angels, they too know everything about man. They've had a millennia since the beginning of time to put an infinite plan of destruction set forth. And they know everybody. They know everybody's hot buttons because they thrive on fear and they thrive on our human curiosity to say, what is that? I can explain that. They'll do anything powerful in their opportunistic world to show you things of fascination that are beyond your limits and beyond your mind. But you're truly engaging with very powerful spiritual entities, which are the fallen angels. They don't like us. Why? Because God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son. And then we take it back further. God created us in their image. Lucifer and the top three fallen angels, Leviathan and Beelzebul, they do not want to have us be above them. And that's why Lucifer would not bow and say, I'm not going to allow this. I was created first. They should bow to us, God, not the other way around. And that's how some scholars have felt the war in heaven took place. That's my belief, as well as the other scholars that put that in place. That's why it happens, because the pride entered into Lucifer, and then a third fell because they did not want to have humans be above angels. Angels are designed to serve and to aid God, and then God sends angels down during trials and tribulations to provide support and comfort. And that's why we are commanded in the Bible, according to the scripture, to test the spirits. So when something does come to us, we are commanded to ask the entity that's come to us, and explain to me how Jesus Christ came to this earth. And if they cannot say he was created in flesh, they are not from God. If they cannot physically say and tell you created in flesh, they are not from God. And I think I shared one of the stories with you about about a young 7-year-old boy who I worked on who had a very powerful demon come through, and it basically stood on the couch, and it was Satan directly, and it looked me in the face, and it said, "You remember me? I'm in your other case, and I'm dealing in another case, which is horrific. It's massive incubuses that are attacking this woman, and Satan is there." And the little boy would see these very horrific, tall, top hat demon. And he told me, he said, "It looks like a gangster from the 1930s is how I can describe it with the big hat on." And we refer to that in the paranormal community as the top hat demon, and that's just a fallen angel. So the point that I'm making is that he had his son. I told the father, "You have to have your son read the verse found in 1 John. Read it and have your son, if he can remember this, when it comes to him, to do this." And he had his little 6-year-old son do it, and the thing would not answer him. As soon as he said, "I command that you tell me, how did Jesus Christ come?" the thing vanished and took off, and it wouldn't answer him. A month later, he ended up getting a very bad attack, basically got possessed and taken over. So to answer your question, yes, there are spirits. They're angelic spirits that come from heaven to aid us, and those that are not from heaven have come forth from hell, and those are the ones that are set forth under the Bible from the words of Christ himself in John 10:10 to kill, steal, and destroy, and they do it in any means possible against human beings.
Well, so like, okay.
Do they have a physical form? Or is this the spiritual form?
It is more of a spiritual form. The demonic entities will have a spiritual form, but once again, they can present any image that they want to a person because they have a customized plan of destruction. They know your deepest, darkest fears. They knew you before you're born, so they know exactly what to present to you to get you to trust them, to get you to buy into what type of plan of destruction they have. So no, they don't have a physical body like we do as humans. They have a spiritual body. And because of their spiritual body, they can shift through planes, time planes. They can shift through portals in a blink of an eye. So they can jump from one person to another person in a blink of an eye, and they can enter one person and come back. And in one of the cases I have, the rest of the family does not want to buy in and help this woman. And she told me when she's been in possession, she sees Satan sending forth Lucifer and Beelzebub into her husband, so that.
And Reverend Brad,
Satan
What does Satan look like?
Well, Satan has been depicted as a red entity with forks, you know, a red suit and horns and stuff like that. Truly, I don't know what Satan looks like. I don't. Nobody has truly seen Satan, but
well,
a lot of people
you said
that
these people are seeing him.
They're seeing the image that they want to be given to them, and they'll use any image that they want. The one woman down in Cincinnati is seeing an entity that's coming off of the movie The Wicked. Have you guys seen the movie The Wicked?
No, I have not.
It looks, from what it was described to me, it looks like an old woman wearing a gown, like a white gown. Her face is completely gray and black, and she has very stringy, greasy hair that's missing, and it goes all the way down her head, all the way down to the sides of her body. And
well,
it's very
hideous. That sounds nothing more than a short-term memory hallucination.
She saw it physically manifesting. And the other term that we tend to use would be a golem. It would look something like that. That was another term that she had used for me. And the child has also seen this entity appear in front of the child. So she has seen she's seen the face of this in her closet as well. She's explained to me that the bedroom that her child is in, it's really bad in the bedroom. A lot of bad activity is there, but she will tell me that it comes forth. So, no, have I personally seen what Satan looks like? No. Have I seen demons? Yeah. I was in a case down in Georgia where I physically watched a demon walk down the hallway. As soon as it saw me notice it, it took off faster than anything I can describe. I did see the back end of it. It was approximately 7 feet in height, and it had legs that were reversed. As it went forward, the legs were caught backwards. It went forward, and it had a long tail, and it did have a triangle at the tip of the tail.
Well,
and I did see it as I was in the case to help this woman. I didn't see its face, but I saw the back half of the entity as it was running down the hallway of the trailer.
And you say this?
And I mean, it covered 30 feet in a split second.
And you said this supposed demon had a tail with a triangle on the end of it.
I saw it with my own eyes. Yes, I saw it with my own eyes. It was 4 feet from me. It was watching me. I was standing out on the porch of the house with a demonic investigator who was helping me because the woman had requested an exorcism, and I went down to verify indeed if it was going to take place or not down in Georgia. And when we were in there, of course, she was having very bad reactions. Her husband got gouged in front of me on the face and stuff like that. And she would basically slip into possession, and she would come out, and you would hear different voices and stuff come out of her. At one point in time, the name was given that I'm Azazel. And, you know, we went down the other end of the stuff to do some things. And,
The fabrication of the image of demons and stuff, you know, that goes back to a lot of mythology, long before the Christian religion ever actually came about. I'm a non-believer myself. I'm I believe in science. I believe there could be a God somewhere out there. I don't want to say one religion is right, one religion is wrong, because there's a lot of religions that came about long before Christianity came about. And it's all a product of what environment you grow up in is how you will be raised spiritually.
You don't remember doing that.
Hello?
Robert, still there?
Yeah, I keep skipping in and out. So, okay. Do you believe everything that somebody sees is a demonic entity, or do you think that there's psychological boundaries involved in this?
Well, psychological boundaries. Can things hallucinate to them that the mind is actually seeing? Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of people. See, part of the exorcism process that one has to go through is we have to get a physical makeup from the doctor. So we have to get medical records to verify, you know, what is the health status of this person. Then we also have to get the psychological evaluations of this person to determine, do they have some type of a mental defect? Okay. The other thing, too, is are they taking drugs? I mean, illicit drugs, hardcore drugs, LSD, whatever you want to consider that stuff, those will manufacture hallucinations in the mind, which will then tend to cause someone to see things that they're not seeing. So when you take all of that aside and they're in perfect health, you know, minus they have headaches and have to take an occasional Tylenol or aspirin, you know, virtually, you know, even if they have high blood pressure, it's controlled. We look at everything. The churches look at everything to make certain. They come clean. They come clean on a psych eval where they have no mental defect known at all. They've been evaluated by a clinical psychologist, and they've been cleared that there is no mental defect found from what the evaluations that we've done, and as well as the other psychological evaluations that we've looked at from them, from their doctor. We clear it from that standpoint, and we have determined that with their medical history and the person telling us they don't use hardcore drugs, and then when they have their physicals, because the physicals would show if they were any type of a habitual drug user, then you tend to have to believe the person that what they're telling you they're physically seeing. It is my personal belief, it is my personal opinion, and I understand everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and I'm not here to beat somebody up about it. I'm just here to explain to people that what you are seeing and what you are encountering is not what you think it is. If you want to think it's Cousin Jimmy who's coming back to see you, or Aunt Sophie coming back to see you, or Grandma Lucy coming back to see you, it's not. and to give you some more information about the case in Cincinnati, this woman went to Bobby Mackey's. She went ghost hunting, and it got bad after that.
Bobby Mackey's has been revealed as a ghost. Okay.
Yeah. And part of the things that I have, and I explain to people, is that, you know, look, I understand people want to have answers. I get that. But the truth is this. You can't open the doors of hell, stick your head into it, and look at the demons and the devils that are there and say, oh, that's what you look like, and close the door and say, I'm good. That doesn't work like that. They notice you. They mark you.
Well, I've been on over 1,000 investigations, literally. I'm 37 years old. I've been doing it since I was 15, and I've just been at it. And I've been on over 1,000 investigations, and I've only seen 2 things that I can't explain, and it's nothing has materialized itself. So that's why it just blows my mind.
Right. Yet.
Okay.
It
what,
may
what
be coming.
Happened,
you
what,
don't know.
What,
that's the
what
thing.
Happened to needing the Vatican approvals for exorcisms? Don't you need some sort of permission coming down the chain of command or whatever to perform an exorcism? And that's why
yes.
they're so rare and few and far between.
Well, yes. See, I work with two different orders. I work for one called the Sacred Order of St. Michael, which is called the Order of Exorcists. They're full Catholic. They have to have the full clinical psychological evaluations. Now, it can take 4 to 6 months of process to get this done. So part of the process works is we have demonic case investigators throughout different states, and they get requests in to go to help these people. One of the cases that came in is in Texas. This case, every priest or minister from the Catholic Church that has gone in has been killed as a result of going into this, and his family is at their last end of the rope. It's that bad. So part of the requirement is we have to go in and gather the case information, gather the physical and evidence as well, pictures, recordings, such as that stuff to assess it for a case, gather the medical records from their doctors who they partake, and gather psychological evaluations as well. 9 times out of 10, a lot of people will have everything but the psychological evaluations. So they have to get the psych evals done. They choose not to do it because what they're afraid of is because during this time frame of torment, these things are telling them, don't do this. You're going to get locked up, and they're going to label you as a kook. Every case I've gone in on and I've worked on this, they're being told this because they tell me. They ask me, so are you going to lock me up if I do this? And I'm like, no, that's not what we do. Well, the voices are telling me that that's what you're going to be doing if I go through this. No, that's not what we do. So
that's
we
their
have
own,
to make
their
sure.
own voice in their head telling them that.
Well, that's what. Yes, they're using that in there, but they're also having multiple voices which are telling them that. You have to look at it from their standpoint. When they hear these things screaming at them in different tones and languages, and they can feel something inside of them, literally boiling their blood, and it's that ticked off, you have to give that person the credit or the benefit of the doubt. So that's kind of why we do the scenario for the full evaluations. Now, the other one that I'm licensed and ordained with is the American Association of Exorcists. Yes, we do require medical evals. We do require psych evals. The difference is this. We require everything, and then we assemble stuff back to the AAE, and we can get the casework evaluated much faster. Now, we have been told from the Sacred Order of St. Michael that if you want to deviate off of this, you can, but it's not under our authority at that point in time. So when you walk in and you sit with the family as a minister, the person that is afflicted starts to basically twist, contort, and growl, and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different voices come out of this person at once. And I heard a recent clip from another minister who actually got 36 different pitch variations coming out of the person at the exact same time. When this occurs in front of you, you're looking at everything saying, I can't believe this is physically happening. And if something pops in and looks at you and basically says, why the F are you here, man of God? You know it's typically not this person you're dealing with. Now, could it be a split personality? Yes, it could be a split personality. That's why you have to have the psych evaluations to see, does this person have this trait? Have they possessed this type of characteristic during the examinations? If they clear that and everything else has been done, then you have to look at it now. It's a spiritual battle. So then as trained exorcist ministers, we then will start to engage to find out. So we say holy words. And if the person starts to twist, contort, and bend by just saying the name of Jesus Christ, and they're doing this in front of you, well, that's not a split personality causing them to twist, contort, and bend. That's more of a demonic entity doing that because they don't want to hear the name, the word of God.
Reverend Brad, I gotta ask this. Why is it the Catholic Church that is in charge of the in charge of exorcisms? Why them? There are out of all the religions throughout the world, there are multiple different ways of supposedly getting a demon out. Why does the Catholic Church kind of why are they the big bullies, saying that their way is the only way?
Well, look, I don't agree with everything that the Catholic Church does, okay? I don't. There's certain dogmas that they have that I don't believe in and follow. I'm there to provide support to the Sacred Order of St. Michael. And the Catholic Church does this because they were the ones who put a formalized process together. So back in the late 1500s, 1600s, there was a very bad case. You can research it on the Internet. There was a very bad case. They actually put the written doctrine of exorcism to battle the specific demon that was done. And at that point in time, nobody had basically put anything like that together for fellow clergy, bishops, priests, ministers, laity, stuff like that, to do. So they were basically laying the groundwork for ministers and priests. So by doing that, they claim that they're the ones that do this. Now, I understand why they do it. I get it, the whole nine yards. It's for a sacred act that's very specialized and privileged, and it's reserved for people who have been received, who have received a call from God to do this. And this is why they do it. So they hold this very specialized spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, in high regard and high esteem, and they don't want it to have be mocked by other religions. So they are the ones that basically put everything together, created different subcultures within this this realm of exorcism. Then in the late 1980s, you find yourself seeing the formation of the International Association of Exorcists led by Father Gabriel Amaroth. And he's the one that basically headed all of this stuff and explained to the Catholic Church, we need to do this. And he worked as a separate arm underneath it, but had specific authority from the Pope to do what was needed and necessary. And they needed to make certain that when they get these types of cases, because people can die, okay? People can die, and we have to make certain that we do certain things to protect the person. Now, I have been told when I've gone in to do exorcisms against different people who are requesting torment, and it breaks my heart because I do get a call when I'm working with the case and before I started, and the person calls me up and says, my 7-year-old, my wife is contorting in positions that's not physically human possible right now. She's growling at me. Her eyes are rolled in the back of her head. It's white. I've watched her levitate, and I've watched all this stuff take place. it's very disheartening for the family to see this and to continue to go through this when I can't touch them yet. So it breaks their heart to see this. And then as a human being and the compassion end, you're sitting there saying, I wish I could do something. I wish I could do something now. I wish I would be there to do this now, but we can't. We have to get everything with clarity to come through. So once we line everything up and we get the information, then we can proceed forward. So the AAE works different because I acquire the information. I send this information directly to the head of the school. So he reviews it, he looks at it, and then he gets back to me typically within that same day and says, you know, has a conversation, an email, and lays out points to me. Have you talked to this person? Describe to me the length of time you've talked to this person. You know, you've had more contact to this person. We've got the medical evaluation. We've got the psych if they've had them. Tell me what your gut tells me. Tell me what you're feeling at this point in time. And I'll say it warrants me to go down further and determine what I need to do for this person. And then I say to them back in an email, if something happens to protect myself in the name of Christ and protect the family, if something tries to attack me and it comes up from a demonic realm and it starts throwing very strong blasphemy and it has a reaction to holy water, reaction to the cross, and it has a reaction to the Bible, we know that that's not a split personality. And if I catch multiple voices coming out of the person at the same time, do I have permission to engage based upon the information that they've sent to you? Now, mind you, a case assessment that I send is anywhere from 10 to 15 pages in length.
Well,
literally
Catholic,
put this down in a Word document.
Why would you follow an order by a church that has been known for torturous murders of over 150 million Christians in biblical recorded history? It sounds
right.
more
that's
like
a very
power.
Good, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. Here's why, okay? First of all, I'm a Christian, okay? And I profess Christ into my heart. And I will help anybody within reason to do this. What people did in the past and what religious organizations did in the past, that will be between those people, those organizations, and God. And everybody's going to face their judgment. And at this time, these people probably have already faced this judgment with God.
Well,
it
almost sounds like the people that wrote the order for the exorcisms. It almost sounds like the people that wrote the order for the exorcisms almost need an exorcism themselves.
Well, my question, real quick, sorry, is I understand there's a lot of possessions and there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes and things like this. But the thing is, I'm a research person. I research a lot of things, and I got my hands in places where not the normal individual has their can look. Okay, I have contacts, this, that, and the other. There's not a lot of reported possessions on, say, public news or, you know, even, I've only heard of one from a friend. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Two factors. Number one, it's a humiliation process. It's like airing your dirty laundry in public, okay? And a lot of people don't want to do that because the fact is they get mocked. They'll get laughed at and say, oh, they were faking it. Oh, they were doing this. They faked it. This was all done for glory and for money. I'm going to make this statement point blank clear. I don't make a dime for this. I lose money, okay? But God blesses me to get back what I do for his kingdom. He gives me back, okay? So I don't charge anybody a dime. And there's a lot of times it costs me thousands of dollars to assist the family in torment that I pay out of my own pocket. And if anybody would love to step up and pay those bills on my behalf, I'm more than happy to give you my gas receipts, my hotel stays, all of that stuff for reimbursement, because I don't charge the people that I help to do this.
How do you make your money on a regular basis?
I have to work outside of ministry. I have no choice. I have to work full-time out of ministry.
You said you've been doing this for 3 years. You've had, almost 60 cases?
I haven't had quite 60 cases. I've had close to about three dozen cases that I've worked. I get cases that come to me all the time. And I'll give you an example. I just had a case that I worked this week. I went up to see the people because they were concerned about a witch putting a curse on the family. A living witch behind them was throwing bales of hay covered in blood in their backyard. a lot of witchcraft symbols on the house that she was at, a lot of strange things that started to occur at the house and everything else. Well, we did an evaluation over the phone, and I was in the area for business, for what I do. I'm in sales because I have to support myself and my wife. I have no choice. I don't make money in ministry. I don't do anything else, so I have to make money to bring in, and what I still help people with this type of ministry. So I tend to work full-time, and then I do ministry full-time. So I spend a lot of time, like 80, 90 hours a week doing this. And I went over to meet with the wife. The husband couldn't be there. I got through everything, and I spent an hour and a half with her. I had her do some specific prayers. I said very specific prayers in the house with her. And when I got done, I said, "How do you feel?" She said, "I feel amazing. I feel like whatever was around me, whatever was in me or whatever was touching me, I feel really light. I feel like I took a shower on the inside." I said, "Wonderful." I said, "Maybe you can remember some of these prayers and have your husband do." I didn't do an exorcism. I didn't have to because there was nothing there to do it. But this woman wanted reassurance of that, and I didn't have any type of physical proof of, you know, languages being stated that were not known to them, levitation, all of this stuff. They were more concerned about a witch had put a curse upon them because they were getting sick every single day. All kinds of stuff was taking place. Car accidents that were just bizarre. Deer almost hitting their car every day. Nobody else is having this. Their pet's dying. I mean, it was just one thing after another. And she's like, "Okay, this isn't right." But when I went there, I didn't get any type of a sense of a demonic entity around this house. So it had been worked up to being a case of the mind being overreactive. So getting back to the original question about the Catholic Church, I worked for it to help those people who are in truly deep desire and needs that have to be set free, because basically myself and the other priests that are in there, in the ministry, we're the answer for their prayers. They're looking for us to come forward to help them in their battle. They can't take it anymore. They're at their wit's end. They're watching stuff get picked up off the table, get thrown across the room, okay? All of this stuff is occurring, and it occurs multiple times. So they're at their wit's end. Their friends all think they're crazy. And that's what the demonic entities do. They will basically take a sane person and turn them insane so they can cause more havoc and more chaos in that person's life. So I choose to help people and align myself. And the Catholic Church is starting to open its doors up, and they're starting to realize that there's a major war coming down the pipeline, and we need to have people put in place, A, who are trained, and B, who want to do this type of work, because it does take specialized training, and it does take specialized, you know, people to go into this. Not everybody wants to be an exorcist in the real world. They don't want to do it. But there are a lot of people who are paranormal investigators who want to make that jump to say, "Look, I want to help people, and I want to come from at it now from a spiritual standpoint, and I want to see what's going on." So the Sacred Order of St. Michael has set up people to be what they're classified only as demonic investigators. Okay, the AAE is also doing that as well. So they're taking people, and they're going to basically, you know, you pay a fee to get a certification letter saying that under their heading, you are considered for them a demonic investigator. You partake in meetings. You go on Skype meetings. You partake in group emails. You read about cases and all this other stuff.
We just got a listener question. They wanted to know if you watch sci-fi movies a lot.
Sci-fi movies.
Yes.
Not really.
I think I'm thinking. It seems like this question is coming about from. Okay, all right, they just clarified. They're saying a lot of this just sounds like a movie almost.
A lot of the cases that I do work, yeah, you could turn these into a movie. Yeah, a lot of the cases that I work, you can turn them into a movie. But what I tell the clients that I work with and other ministers and priests that I've talked to as well, we all let them know look, this isn't something that's going to walk in 2 hours, we're done. No, that's not how it works. It's not you like you physically walking into a movie theater, watching hell open up in front of you, and then 2 hours later, because it's time for the movie to be over, Satan's got to go. That's not how it works. These things take weeks, months, and years to potentially break off of people. The case I have in the Detroit, Michigan area where I live, it's a case straight out of hell. Satan comes straight forward and looks me in the eye through this woman and says, God tells me I can't have her. I have to go. I'm not leaving, man of God. She's my wife. She's been committed to me to bring the Antichrist forward. So whatever you want to do to me, you do, because I ain't leaving. Even though God says I can't stay and it's his property, I'm staying. I don't have legal right, but I love her, and I'm going to put Lucifer here, I'm going to put Baal here, I'm going to put Beelzebul here, and I'm going to put Astaroth here.
Wait,
to protect
wait,
her from you.
But, okay, I thought God stated that our bodies are ours, free will.
No, our
was
bodies.
Was she a Christian woman?
Oh, yes. She's a professed woman.
So she gave herself to God.
Woman. Yes, she has, before I met her.
Well, the reason I was saying that is because if you don't give yourself to God, you're not God's until you give yourself to God. Then you can be
possessed. She gave herself to God. She gave herself to God when she was a young woman. Yeah.
I got another
question. She gave herself to God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the case I have in Cincinnati, she's a professed Christian. She's known Christ for a long time in her life. She accepted Christ a long time ago.
Okay, I have a question from somebody that's listening. She says, I might have a question for the Reverend. Why does he continue to do this stuff if there is too much manifestations from bad entities, including many cases of demonic possession?
I choose to do this calling because God put this upon me to do his work. Listen, I've had Satan and I've had other demonic entities, while I'm battling them, look me straight in the eye to break my concentration and focus when I'm working upon them. They'll physically tell me through their voice, I'm going to kill you. And they say, I'm going to effing kill you, man of God, servant of God. And I calmly look them back in the eye and I put the cross right up to their face of the person who's possessed, and I said, and God says what to you? Under the authority of the cross, what does God say you can do? And they'll look me back in the face and they'll turn their head and they'll say, I can't effing touch you because God said you're blessed. So I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Yea, though he may slay me according to the book of Job, I still worship the man. I still worship my Savior. Even though he can kill me at any point in time, I do his work. And it doesn't scare me to do this work. I do it because of the fact that I had a calling placed upon me years ago to do this work. So there's a big misnomer out there in the world that if you have Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, that you can't be possessed. No, that's false. If you have Christ, they want you even more.
Well, these demonic beings have lived before the creation of time, or whatever, or
yes,
were created during the creation of time, and they're thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. They've found a way to already break the veil and go inside a blessed person's body. What would keep them from just slitting your throat? Someone asked
God
me that. That wasn't my question.
Okay, somebody asked you.
Sorry.
Yeah. Part of the process that I do when I engage, before I engage and the entity starts to manifest in it, I bind it with very specific doctrine from training that we have completed and done. Then part of the process that I do, which makes me different, because I'm not saying all ministers and priests do this, but I specifically put the cross on their head. Okay, the porpoise facing forward to me, and I put the cross under their head, and I say to them, in the name of Jesus Christ, under the authority of the cross, do you have permission to kill? And they'll wait, and they'll wait, and I keep repeating it time and time again. And eventually, they'll say, no. I repeat, Jesus has said you cannot kill or harm his property. No, but I'm here to torment them. Okay, so now I know they can't kill.
Well, yeah,
you can't harm the servant of God either, can you? No, I can't harm.
These supposed demons are out to take everything that they can. Well, I'm getting ready to go into a mental asylum, a former mental asylum, by myself with my equipment to record evidence. There's been known deaths in this asylum, and it's my kind of fun. That's my kind of fun. Are you saying that I'll come out of there most likely possessed?
No, I'm not saying you're going to come out of there possessed. No, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm not a man of God. I'm not a man of God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe any of that stuff. Which seems like it would make me a likely target for these supposed demons. Am I right?
Here's the truth. You are put on the radar screen just like other Christians are put on the radar screen. They come to you when you're, I use the term radar screen. They're watching. That's just a term that I make up to explain it to people this way. They put you on their screen, and they start the process when they want to. It will take years. They will hit you at a point in time when you least suspect it, and it'll start off very subtle and innocent. And it could take a year to develop. It could take 20 years to develop. It's all how they want to formulate this customized plan of destruction upon you.
Well, they might already be working right now because I'm broke.
Subtle process. Yeah, it's a very subtle process as to how they do this. And listen, in opposite extreme of the case, they sometimes will just come flat on like a freight train at this person. But
the process we
have to determine is why did all of a sudden they just manifest so quickly, you know, upon this person? They're normal, and in one day, you know, within a week to 2 weeks or whatever the case may be, it's full bore type of a scenario.
Well, me, myself, I have my own beliefs, okay? And they may or may not be Christian. If I see someone in need, I'll talk to them about the beliefs. But, what's up?
Nothing.
Someone talking?
No.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not here to beat anybody up about religious. What you do and what you want to do is basically between you, and if you believe in God, that's between you two. I'm not to interfere. All I'm saying is that I will show people the way, the truth, what Jesus wanted to do by very specific actions and words. And that's all I say. And then when stuff does happen and things start to go awry in life, people will call me. People will email me and say, look, I saw a very dark shadow standing in my room and I didn't feel good. I got sick. I got very nauseated. Okay. Then I tell them, do this type of a prayer. Okay. Listen, I got an email in from a paranormal person in California. She's been an investigator for years. She took a picture in her bedroom the other night. In the TV is a picture of a demonic entity that's in the TV. It's not on, and it's looking at her, and it's standing in the screen of the TV, and you can see the ram's horn looking at her with the legs bent backwards, and it's looking at her, and she's like, what the heck is this? And she goes, I didn't feel good when this thing came through. She goes, things are getting worse. I'm in my car, and I see a dark shadow staring at me in the back seat of my car. I turn and I look. That's the infestation process. They're now infesting themselves into the person's life to make it worse. And they're starting this process of full-bore infestation. And then the next phase is the oppression phase, where they start to take someone and they'll turn them with thoughts of suicide, or the men will have fits of anger and rage. Children will have fits of anger and rage, unexplained. I mean, they flip on a dime. women will flip on a dime and go psychotic. They're so depressed they want to kill themselves. The air is so thick and heavy you can cut it with a knife in the house. That's oppression. Then it goes into what we call full possession. Now, full possession, true full possession, where you have this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like Annalise Michael, okay, the case that we made famous, that type of a possession, that one is full possession, where they would not physically let her eat or drink, and she would get sick, and she would physically, you know, vomit very bad excrement and other things that would come out of her, and you can read the stories off the internet. I don't need to be graphic, but that's my point. True pure possession is very rare. So what we are finding more and more with people is what we call catatonic possession, where they'll walk in and they'll start this twisting, contorting, they'll start growling and everything else, and then it's wanting to get into pure possession, where the entity wants to reside within and bring even more, the thousands and thousands that they want to bring in to cause the havoc in this person and reside fully within. That's the worst case scenario. And
Hollywood is constantly building up exorcisms and building up demonic possessions because it's exciting. It's exciting to watch. It's something that's scary that you never want to happen to yourself. And you've got all these movies out there. You've got The Last Exorcism, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Devil Inside, The Rite, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And they all say, based on a true story, you know, based on this, based on that, but they're not. They are actually written by Hollywood directors to do nothing more than to scare you. And all these twisting, contorting, and stuff like that, that seems like it came straight from these movies.
Yeah.
And
no,
we have another caller in that wants to ask some questions. Marion, are you there? Hello?
Marion.
Mon
ami. Mon ami.
I brought you in.
Mon ami is not answering.
She is not answering. Hello?
So to answer your question, guys, yes, Hollywood does do a lot of these things because they glamorize this stuff. You have to remember, they're trying to tell a story for 2 hours, okay? Not even 2 hours. You know, a lot of movies these days are, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours. So they're trying to tell a story about it. And, yes, a lot of this stuff is made up in there. The stuff that I'm telling you and I've captured on video when I go in to do exorcism, because I do it for two factors. Number one, I do it to protect me legally because I don't want somebody to say I touched them inappropriately or I raped them or I sexually assaulted them. No, I put holy water on your head and the sign of the cross on your forehead with my index finger. I don't think that's sexual rape or anything at that standpoint. I put a Bible on your head. No, I didn't touch you sexually inappropriately. I put a Bible on your head. I put a cross to your forehead. I put a cross to your temple. You know, I put a stole over your shoulders. I don't think that's sexual inappropriateness to put a blessed item, a blessed article upon you to wear to help you battle or to open your hand and put crucifixes in your hands.
It's blessed by a man who claims to be of God or have power from God, correct?
No, that's not how I do it. I bless it from the authority of Jesus Christ, under the authority of Jesus Christ, because according to the Bible, Jesus said, I give you authority. As followers and believers of me, I give you my authority. Because I'm a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, I claim his authority, which means I claim his victory. So when I take a crucifix, I say, I bless this under the authority of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as it is written in the book of Revelations. All tongues shall confess.
If you wanted to bless a pack of playing cards to use in your exorcism, would that work too? If you're blessing things,
No,
taking
I use,
an object.
I use some. Yeah, but see, now that, see, a deck card, that's not something that's scripturally. I use a corpus, which is the cross with the body of Christ on it, to represent the victory over death.
But
see,
but
a lot
the,
of people...
If you're using scripture, you have to actually use the old Dead Sea Scrolls. You have to look at the whole Bible, not just what the Catholic Church has
right.
edited as the Bible. And there's
It'll
actually
right,
a book
right.
of the Bible.
Right, what? But see, here's the thing. See, here's the thing I want you to understand. If I'm going in on a Catholic exorcism, I have to follow the Catholic rule to the letter, and I have to go also in with a Catholic priest. So even though I may be the lead one, I'm there with another fellow exorcist to work with this, okay? If I'm going in with the AAE, I will take another fellow demonic investigator with me to support me. Now, the writings that we use for the AAE is different than what the Catholic use, the Catholic Church uses. We use scripture taken out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Acts and also Hebrews, and also heavily out of the book of Revelations. And all of this doctrine that's based from the Bible, which has been stated in words of Jesus Christ, we repeat this through very ritualized processes, and it's done to break the demonic entity down. You've got to remember, I'm in a psychological warfare right now with a fallen angel. So the only way that I'm going to win is through the grace of God, and for Jesus Christ to be upon me, looking at me, and having his hands out of a spiritual realm, out of heaven upon me, and comforting me and saying, your work, my way, you will win. And that's how I operate. So when I go in and I have to follow the Catholic request, because it's been passed to me by the Catholic Church, I take a Catholic priest in with me. So we follow it to the letter just like the Order of Exorcists wants. When I do it from the AAE side, I don't do the Catholic by the letter, verse, verse, verse that they want. I use the liturgy that we were trained to use under their ordination process to help the battle against Satan and the forces. So I hope that kind of clears how the liturgy that I use versus the Catholic rite of full exorcism, full solace, versus what we do with the full solace of the AAE. So getting back to that question that you asked about earlier with the movies of pure possession and stuff, yes, pure possession is very rare. It is. But the process is a lot of these people are at their wit's end, and the last thing they want is to bring public shame to them because, A, you don't know what these people are experiencing. I mean, I'm a human being, guys. I am. I bleed. I cough. I catch colds. I have compassion. If I saw somebody in your family and you came to me and you're at your wit's end and I'm working with you and it's months and months and months and months and we're going through this, I get attached to you people. I'm a human. I have compassion. For one second, don't think that I'm not going to get attached to you and call you up on a personal side and say, look, this isn't Reverend Brad talking to you. How you doing today, bud? You doing okay? Can I do anything for you? Do you need me to go get you a burger? What do you need me to do? Just, you know, you need to come by and mow your lawn? What is it? You know, how can I not get attached to them? You do.
Yeah.
You get attached to these people. Even the demonic investigators, they get attached to these people on a very personal relationship. And when you walk basically side by side with these people through hellfire, you become family to them. I've had a case where they look at me and they're like, you're family. You come to the table, you eat with us. You're family. No matter what anybody else is, because you weren't born into this family, you've been baptized by blood with this family, you're involved with us. And I can't shut that off, you know? A lot of priests and ministers, they're different. They'll tell you you can't get close to the person. I'm sorry. I'm human. It's one of my traits. It's one of my faults. Yes, I'm a fallen man in a fallen world. And if that's guilty of being compassionate to another fellow human being, then I'm guilty of it. So, you know, it's hard for me not to get close to the people that are afflicted because it hurts me to see them in this type of position. It hurts me to see the child having to watch their parent go through this process. and they understand, and they come to you and they say, help mommy, help daddy. It's not mommy or daddy. And the kid's crying, and you're sitting there, and you're like, what are you supposed to do? The best thing you can do is offer comfort and solace to this person at the point in time and saying, I'm here. I'm going to do what I can, little one. I'm going to do the very best that I can, and I need you to be strong.
Can you explain today what's going on? Well, you still there, sir? Sorry about that.
We had a little
I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? What is your take on the spiritual warfare, exorcisms, possession, that sort of thing?
About possessions?
Yeah.
Well, I look at it this way. I haven't known any spirits personally. I could swear I've seen some things, but I don't know if they're demons, but I imagine that a spirit can possess someone if they really wanted to.
Well, no, the Reverend doesn't believe that it's a spirit. He believes it's only a demon. So he was explaining that earlier. I know you haven't got to listen to that part of the show yet. But basically that the human spirit, I'm just, explain it, Reverend. Explain what?
Yeah.
Good.
It is my personal belief and it's my personal philosophy that during the multiple cases of battles that I've handled with people, that these are not ghosts. Once you die, your spirit faces judgment, your human soul. You face judgment before God. You're either found righteous in the eyes of God or you're not. And God has created the chasm so wide, so once he casts you to hell, you can't go back. You can't come back to this realm. And why would you want to leave heaven if it's so glorious and wonderful? Because God's telling you, oh, go turn the light switch on to them. Oh, go grab your granddaughter and shake her violently so you wake her up. God's not that type of a God. He's not going to have that type of torment caused to you. He wants you to come to him, and he wants to show you love and compassion. Now, God was a very vengeful God before he sent his son. Yes, that's true. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He left four people. He killed one because she refused to listen to God, and he turned her to salt. And when he flooded the earth, he saved eight people, and that was it. After he sent his son said, it is finished. My sacrifice is sufficient for all. So these aren't human spirits lingering around in a spirit realm because they want to move on or they don't know how to move on. They do. God gives you free will on this time, whatever blessed time you have, 40 years, 50 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, to do it either your way or walk righteous the way he wants you to walk. And if you choose not to, and you want to do it your way, then there's consequences, and that's called sin. And without having Jesus Christ as the bridge between him and sin, washing it away, you're not going to go to heaven. Unfortunately, that's the sad truth. That's the realm that's out there. And so what is it then that these are things that are doing? It's the fallen angels and entities, the demons. They are out to destroy every man, woman, and child. So it's them that are actually causing this horrific type of incidents upon people. And they start innocently. They'll show themselves as a little child. They'll show themselves as an old adult. They'll show themselves as a young adult. I mean, look, I was in a case where I literally watched something, okay? I was in the room of the husband at this house that's still ongoing. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the husband, and I've already worked on him one time, and he hasn't been right, and this is six weeks later, and I pull him aside because his wife is like, look, I've had six exorcisms, and they keep coming back to me because they come through me, and they're telling me, we're on the husband. That's why we come back, because they're on the husband. I'm on the husband. So that's why I have legal right to come back to see they're legally married, so I can come back anytime I want. You can cast me off the wife all you want, but I'm on the husband. So I take the husband into the bedroom, and I have a one-on-one personal talk with him, not in front of his wife and not in front of his kids. And I have a talk with him. As I'm talking to him, I literally watch this little brown, shaped thing. I don't know what it is. Out of the corner of my right eye, 4 to 5 feet away from me, because he's got a king-size bed, and we're standing in the middle of his bed. Now, he's sitting on the bed, and I'm standing in front of him, 3 feet away from him, and I'm having a very frank conversation. And his bedroom closet is behind me, to my right, and their big dresser with the big mirror on it that you can see it. So, you know, they get up in the morning, and the wife can do her hair right there in front of it, look at it. As it comes flying out of the closet, about 3 feet tall, this little blackish-brown thing runs bullet fast, and I catch it out of the corner of my eye, and it flies up the wall, flies down by the side of the bed, and it disappears. The husband looks at me and says, yeah, you're right. And then he says, I don't feel good right now. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I don't feel good. What's wrong? He goes, I'm pissed at you for talking to me right now. Did I see something? Yeah, I did. I witnessed it. Can I tell you what it was? No, it was moving at the speed of light. It was that fast, but I caught it out the corner of my eye. And I can only tell you it was black or brown, and it was no taller than about 3 feet. Now, I classify that as what I consider an imp, the low-level, low-ranking demonic forces that come in, because they're foot soldiers for the big
ones. Are you talking about your case in Cincinnati, or is this a previous?
No, this is another case here in Michigan. That's still ongoing. This is another family that I have that I'm working on. I got a text message from them again, and they had friends come over, and the wife text messaged me and said, friends come over and said, he's not right. There's something wrong with him. They get chills when they stand next to him. I said, I can't force somebody to do this.
Well,
I can't force somebody. They either want to get right with themselves, or they don't.
That description of what you said, had that family had any contact with someone who had hoodoo in their relation?
No, she went and saw a psychic a year prior to this, and that's after she saw the psychic. That's when everything went downhill from them. She said it just opened up. She said literally like it opened up the doors of hell. When I first met this family, and guys, you remember this woman? She was on the show with me, okay? Rose, she was on the show with you. And I'm still dealing with it, okay? I was in her house Friday night. Her cousin came up from Kentucky, okay? Drove from Kentucky to come up because she had major things going on. I literally watched as she sat in me. She had, like, handprints go around her neck, red handprints, and she's looking at me, and she starts laughing very diabolically.
Okay, Robert, I'm a very seasoned paranormal investigator, very professional at what I do. Besides this show is where I can let loose. This is not how I am in real life. The case in Cincinnati, I am only 7 hours from Cincinnati. Would you allow me to come along on this?
I'm 1 hour and 15 minutes.
I have to ask the client permission. I have to ask the client for
me
that.
We can just meet up, you know, whatever.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure she won't, but, I mean, she wants me. I mean, she's already told me because we've talked since last week, since the case came to me through the American Association of Exorcists. I've been in contact with her, and we've been talking. She said, I do not want the exorcism put out on YouTube. I said, hey, don't do that. I said, I don't do that. I said, I will share it with very close, intimate people, ministers, and also other people that are in the community so that they can see snippets. I don't do the full, I won't show the full, you know, the exorcism. I'll show the snippets of everything so they can see the different traits that take place. She said, I'm fine with that. And then she shared with me the story about how she used to think these things were ghosts until she saw her friend split in half in front of her and some other things change as well. And I said, you know, I'd really love for you to go on video and tell the world what you saw and what your now belief is from going into Bobby Mackey's and all this other stuff that you've experimented with. And she flat out on the phone told me in a heartbeat, because these people don't understand. They come walk my shoes every day. You come walk my shoes.
Can I admit something to everybody? Can I admit something to everybody?
Go ahead.
I used to be a Wiccan, okay? I used to be a Wiccan, and then I became a Christian, and then that's kind of where it stayed at. But, like, as I said, every house and every over 1,000 things that I've done, and a lot of people have said that they're possessed, I've walked in their homes and found squat. And I've gone back several, 12, 13 different times and found nothing. And this is a hard explanation for me. I don't understand why this is.
Okay.
I don't get it. I don't.
Well, here's the thing.
Because we call them out pretty much the same as you call them out, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you know, I can't tell it. I can't tell, you know, because one person doesn't experience it more so than the other. I can't, you know, they can only qualify and testify to what they know. I can only qualify and testify to what I've known and what I've seen and what I do. That's all I can do. But I'm here to tell you these things because I live this stuff, I walk this stuff, I breathe this stuff. This is what I do for the kingdom of God, okay? Do I still do weddings and stuff like that? Yes, I do. But
if I can go along to the Cincinnati case and I see this contorting, levitating, object manipulation, whatever, I'll be able to die happy. I will seriously be able to die happy. That will be the icing on the cake. Call me a believer after that. If that can happen, if that happens, and I cannot explain it away, I'll be stuck as a believer. The debunker boy will have been debunked.
Okay. Well, first of all, number one, I need to explain something to you. This is not my call. This is the client's call, okay? I have to physically ask them, okay? And if they say no, we have to respect their wishes. And I just want you to understand it. This isn't my call, okay? So if they say absolutely not, okay, but I can ask them in a very nice way because they start to trust me now because of some things that I've said. And I basically have not lied to them so far through this process. And one of the key indicators was I said, look, we've talked, we've set the date that I'm coming down. Because you have set the date with me now and you physically told me the date you want me there, things are going to get bad for you now because they heard you say this date that you want me there. So I'm going to tell you now, by Friday morning, you better be in a recliner or be in bed and you better not be doing anything for the next 48 hours till I arrive on Monday. And they said, okay, well, Thursday, she started to get sick. She got thrown out of the bathroom. She had doors opening up and slamming. Her daughter's acting violently wicked. I'm in an exorcism last night. She texts me during the exorcism. The husband texts me and leaves me a voicemail. My six-year-old is having tantrums and fits of rage, and we cannot control her. It is horrific in here right now. And the wife is still not rested. And I said, you have to get rest. Because when we finished the exorcism, I got done with what I needed to do on my one client and get her through because she wasn't right. I called him back and I talked to the husband and I talked to the wife as well on speakerphone. And I had them do some very specific prayers. And she's like, oh, they're pissed. I can see them. They're showing their faces to me now and they're pissed at you. You pissed them off. And I said, I told you this is going to happen, but I can't let them torment you as much as you want. She texted me several times today. But
I have a very strong belief that she is going to deny us to come down. I have a strong belief that she is not going, that we are not going to be allowed to come along on this.
Well, I'll ask her. She may allow one person to come in, because of the fact that, you know, if I say I need to have somebody else as an assistant there. But here's the second part of the scenario, and I'll flash forward to the second part. Whenever I go into an exorcism, I have to make certain that the person that is with me, point blank, you have to have Jesus Christ. Because the last thing I want to do is engage somebody, and then the person next to me who does not have Jesus Christ, they start developing these types of characteristics.
I'm inviting that. I would love to experience something like that.
Well,
it's
they
like
can't
a see it to believe it.
You'd love getting
like,
to
I caution you. I'm just telling you. I caution you by what you just said. I seriously caution you because, like I said, that
I've
is something that.
I've done it so many times in all the haunted places that I've been in. I say,
okay.
Use me to talk to me. And I said, go ahead. If possession is real, go ahead. And it doesn't happen.
Well, I walk into places that are supposedly haunted, and they just aren't haunted anymore. So probably hiding. I don't know.
Well, a lot of the place. I mean, here's the thing, guys. Most of the stuff is, demons are not going to hang at abandoned buildings because they're just sitting there. No, they want to be around people. They want to interact. Okay, that's
no,
what
I'm
they want to do.
I'm talking about my actual investigations that I went on. You know, because
right.
I've seen it. Like, psychics go into sort of a trance and suddenly, you know, the demons are talking through them or something like that. Maybe what I need to do is I need to go into a location and tell the ghost, demons, whatever, that I'm Zach Baggins. Then I'll get all the evidence that I need.
Well, I had a girl start screaming in the middle of an investigation that we invited this group over to help us with. And she started screaming, and she turned pale white. And I walked over, and she was screaming and screaming. And I touched her, and she stopped. And she's like, "What?" And then, you know, that's kind of embarrassing, but... that's about the
yes.
only craziest thing I've seen, I think.
I wouldn't know if that's possession. I wasn't there at the case, I wasn't there to see it, you know, the whole nine yards. Do I strike that up as very odd? Yeah. Yeah, I strike that up as very odd.
Strange for a 30-year-old woman.
Is there any typical signs that someone who's possessed would show? I mean, is there any solid particular sign?
The typical signs that someone will show when they are possessed, a lot of them will be talking in different languages that are unknown to them.
Like speaking
so,
in tongues?
So, for example, if they're talking in Latin, if they use Latin, they use Greek, they use Hebrew, Aramaic.
That's speaking in tongues, but that's supposed to be a thing of God.
No, that's,
is it
that
possible for someone to be specifically asleep and not know it?
What's that?
Is it possible for someone to fall asleep, get possessed, and be possessed but not know it while they're asleep?
Is it possible for someone to fall asleep and get possessed and then what?
Not know that they were possessed while they were asleep.
Yes.
Kind of like hypnosis, you know. You fall asleep and you walk around, you know, like sleepwalking.
Yes, that is possible. So to answer your question from earlier, yeah, language is one. Another act that they do is if they're sick, if there's multiple voices coming out of the person at the exact same time they're speaking, where you physically can hear 2, 3, 4, 5 different voices. In different voice patterns and manipulations, talking at the exact same time, that's another sign of possession. Another sign of possession, the eyes are jet black.
That's physically impossible.
The whole white of the eye is jet black.
That's physically impossible.
What is?
Seven
black
voices
eyes.
Coming at once, black eyes.
Oh, the eyes jet black? No,
yeah.
You know what? Someone just said something about Supernatural, the show Supernatural and black eyes.
No, I've watched it. The case I have in Detroit, her eyes turn jet black. They'll roll back straight in her eyes, and all you see the white of the eyes, and the next thing you know, she'll open up, and they're pure black.
Wouldn't that be like a complete retinal tear?
The things you're actually talking about, the physical contortion.
It can be, but you see... But you see, the thing that I do is because this case that has been ongoing with me, the first thing I do when I walk in, you know, obviously I'm already prepared. I've got all my stuff done. I'm making sure that I'm properly blessed and protected in the name of Christ with certain prayers that I do, certain gestures that I do for reverence of God. And then when I walk in, I put my stole on and I walk over and I bind her in the name of Jesus Christ and I command her under the authority of Jesus Christ, you will not harm or you will not kill because you've told me in the prior engagement, Satan, you cannot kill. Therefore, you will not harm the child of God because she's professed Christ and you've heard it. And then she'll twist and contort and say, what the F are you doing here, man of God?
Well, the twisting and contorting, that can actually lead to broken bones, dislocation
yep.
to
yep.
actual paralyzation. So why are these people that get possessed, why do they walk out of it fine?
Two things. Number one, God will give permission to the demons if they can kill or not. 9 times out of 10. My experience has been in the cases that I've worked on personally, cases that I've seen from other ministers that have talked about this is God hasn't given permission to kill. God has given permission to torment them, but God hasn't given permission to kill.
No, I'm not saying kill them. I'm saying physically mutilate them because, like he was saying,
no.
The full retinal detachment with the
no.
with the eyeballs rolling to the back.
Yeah, it's all dependent upon the severity of the possession case.
Okay.
Well,
it's
all dependent.
No.
I mean, if you're in pure possession where you're 24 hours a day or 7 days a week, I mean, look, I met another minister and he was talking to me about this. He goes, look, I've actually seen them eat their own excrement. I've actually seen them rip their nails out of their fingertips with their teeth. They pulled them straight out off of every one of their fingers, okay? So, yeah, so it's all dependent upon what they want. He said, yeah, I've actually watched an arm break. So it's just dependent upon what the intention is. A lot of the intention of that demon is that it's doing to the servant that's there to help this person is to scare it. It's a scare tactic that's done to get us to back down. That's why a Catholic exorcism, they usually bring in 2 priests to work it, and it's very... very ritualized because the Catholic priests will not stop, and that's why death can occur with the Catholics, and I won't do that to a person. I won't. I will not bring that person to that far. If I know it's starting to get bad, I'll bind it in the name of Christ, and I order it to go down into torment, and then I will talk with the family and say, I'm not going to put this person into this type of continuation because I don't want physical harm to happen. It can get worse. I think we need to rest. We need to stop, regroup ourselves, let's get ourselves in a situation where we can calm and wait, and so we have our strength and we'll use our Bible tactics again and continue to do this and break it down from that standpoint, because the last thing I want to have happen is that person be physically harmed because the demonic entity is so agitated and PO'd at me and PO'd at God that it's going to start lashing out and trying to rip the person apart. So you have to be very, you know, tactful. It's kind of like, I use it like this. Mike Tyson, when he got in the ring, he could knock you out 30 seconds. Yeah, he could. I mean, he could knock you out 2 seconds if he wanted to. But he waited for his right time while he was in the ring to take the knockout punch. And that's kind of how I do it as a prize fighter. I'll wait and I'll examine the different areas that the demon is trying to do. And I'm watching the different words that I'm using in literature to see what the thing upsets it the most. And then I find the key verses, and I keep repeating the verses to it, and it gets it more agitated. And then I'll throw into the mix, when I've got the demon on the ropes, then I throw in the mix the Holy Sacraments, which upsets it even more. Yes, the demonic can take Holy Sacraments. The high-ranking ones, it doesn't bother them. They can take it. Satan, Lucifer, and Beelzebul, and Astaroth can take it with no problem. Can they take it repeatedly for an hour? No. Because they'll flat out look you in the face and they'll tell you, stop that effing S word. I don't want that effing S word. I don't want this effing S word. Take this effing S word and shove it up your effing A word. So
Okay. They'll
break down at that point in time. So then it's, you know, back to the Bible verses and doing the liturgy over and over again. So it's all dependent upon how the minister or the priests go about it.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much for coming on, Reverend Brad. We got to cut this short.
Oh, not a problem.
You've been very informative. It's been very controversial. I'm not going to lie. Definitely let me know if we can come along and.
I'll ask her. I'll send her a text message because I have to touch base with her to see how she's doing tonight, to see how she's resting comfortably and stuff like that. But I'll send a text message to them and then I'll talk with them live and say, look, would you mind if I had somebody else to come in to help support me, to just to be there for the event that, you know, something goes awry? Okay.
Yeah, well, being a medical professional myself, I would
well,
be there.
Well, if you are a medical professional, since you are a medical professional, then I'm going to say this person is a medical professional, and I need to make certain that your vitals are going to be safe while I do this engagement of battle with you. So I will tell them point blank, I have to have somebody checking your vitals at different points in time,
mm-hmm,
to make certain that your pulse rate is not going 300 over 200. You know what I'm saying? So, because I still kind of check it every once in a while, I'll stop, and the person, I break them down, I put the demon of torment, I bring them back to normal, and I ask them, how are you? I'm just tired. Are you okay? Yeah, I want to get this done. Well, let's rest. I want you to drink some water. You need to use the bathroom. Do what you've got to do. You know, and they'll leave, and then they'll start, you know, growling and doing all kinds of other stuff. But I'm just like, you got to control them, put them in check. I'm not ready to engage them. You've got to get, you know, your bodily functions handled. Because the last thing I want to do is have somebody have, you know, that type of an issue in front of me as well.
Hey, we have a caller on. His name's, we'll just say, what's your name?
No.
My name is me.
My name is Waylon.
It's W-A-Y-L-O-N, all 275 beautiful pounds of him.
Well, I know what your name was, but I didn't know if you wanted me to say it on the air. Okay, well.
Oh, yeah, put it on the air. Put it out there. Let the people know who I am.
You know,
Mr. Waylon from the band Deadbeat.
We're talking to
a demonologist right now, Waylon. What do you think about he does exorcisms. What do you think about demons?
I think instead of exorcising them, we should feed them.
Okay.
What are you going to feed them, dude?
Demon chow, duh.
Demon chow?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would feed a demon. I mean, you go to Walmart, you go to Kroger, you got people food,
no,
you got pet food, and then you have the demon produce aisle.
All right, well, guys, I'm gonna go ahead and say goodbye to the Reverend. Thank you very much for coming on. It was a pleasure hearing from you once again, and I look forward to hearing about whether or not we can come down.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I'll send you an email message through Facebook. And I'll let you know if I can get down. But like I said, it's a good shot when I say I have to have a medical professional there.
Sounds good. You have a wonderful
Alrighty.
Night.
So, yep, have a great night, guys. God's blessings. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Wow.
I'm still here.
What's up?
I hate the funny part is that two-thirds of the way he describes a typical possession, that's me every time I get pissed.
Well, guys,
maybe I'm a demon.
I kept telling him that it's what he's talking about is a movie. That's straight out of a fucking movie that's written by
it
a
It sounds Hollywood just
director.
Like Supernatural.
And I don't watch Supernatural. Yeah, I don't watch that bullshit. I've seen the movies and everything, you know, the twist and contorting, you know. And if Robert, if we go to this and we actually see this, you know, I will shut the hell up, okay? But until that point, no,
I'll book it every weekend if someone starts fucking spitting pea soup at me.
Yeah, this is...
The question I had about, he said, a little bullshit.
If anybody can produce pea soup, I don't need to buy groceries.
I've heard of things like that in hoodoo, okay? People in hoodoo that will have encounters with spirits and things that meet that description. That's why I had the question about it, because, you know, that's something that is kind of a common theme in hoodoo.
Well,
so that's why I was
like,
you sure, like, this person isn't cursed to, like, be seeing things or some shit?
Like, we've got a listener, a very faithful listener. Her name's Marion Naboo. She actually lives in France. It's actually, like, 4 o'clock in the morning right now. I swear to God that woman does cocaine every night because she does not sleep. She stays up to listen to our radio show. But
you don't have to do cocaine to stay awake. You can do heroin too.
That's great.
but
hair
anyway,
long.
She goes.
Yeah,
even,
it's possible. It's possible
even,
she does heroin. She could put it in her tea.
All right. For the record, Marion does not do cocaine. She just said, "Ryan, I hate you." Anyways, like this. She even said, this is bullshit what he's saying. Like, this is so fucking fake. This is, I mean, I'm letting it all out right now because I was holding it. You know, I try to be professional with people. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, and besides, I couldn't get a word in edgewise because this guy just, I mean, he doesn't even take a breath when he talks.
He's demonic. No, I'm just kidding.
So you say it's totally fake, but my question is, what kind of fake? Because there are different kinds of fake. Is it fake like a picture of a McDonald's cheeseburger because it's not what you get when you order it, or is it fake like a woman's orgasm because that thing's a myth?
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad for you and your little penis because my woman, you know, all her orgasms.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's not an orgasm. That if there's fluid, that's urine.
Oh, okay. But anyways, you know, I swear to God, like, you know, a week ago I adopted a demon that's in a dog form because this dog is fucking pissing me off. I got a Siberian Husky pup, and he is just driving me batshit crazy. He's chewing
it's
up
not
my
a hellhound. He's a shithound.
Something we should ask him because you know I've never heard of any episode where a demon possessed an animal. It's always demon possessed.
Especially huskies because I have a full grown one sitting right beside me right now and she's chill. But when she was a pup, she wasn't like that. She tore the hell out of things. It does take work and training, but once they're trained, they are freaking magnificent. So maybe you don't have to like exercise the demon. You just have to train it.
Or take it outside so it can take a shit.
Training 101.
Yeah, but you think if a demon could talk multiple voices through a person or whatever, if a demon possessed an animal, then the animal should be able to talk, right?
Okay, yeah. Real quick, about the multiple voices through one person. First of all, a fucking human body only has one fucking voice box. It does not have 12. So that's horse shit right off the bat.
Come on. I've seen people that can actually pull off the two voice thing.
Yeah, but 12?
Pretty well because
well, I kept telling him it's physically impossible.
You guys have seen Pokemon.
Especially singers that can do, like, opera and shit can pull off that dual... It sounds like they're throwing out two voices at once.
Well, I called him out on this. I know I'm going to get an email from him that says, me and Robert cannot come. That the woman does not want me and Robert there. You know why he's going to do that? Because it's fake. It's bullshit. And I told him. I'm predicting that we're going to get a big fat no. Because I want to see the levitation. Makes me a fucking believer.
Dude, they got a magnetic vest on her? Because that's the only levitation I've ever seen.
Oh, apparently this demon makes you contort.
I know what he does. He gives them acid before he does the whatever the fuck it's called.
Well,
you know,
like I said, sounds like me. What they describe as a demon sounds like me when I get really pissed off, and like most women I know when they get pissed off. So,
aren't all women pissed off?
Start talking in multiple voices, and then things start flying.
By the way, Ryan.
Yeah.
This is Waylon. He works with
Hey, Brad.
He works at the same facility, if you want to call it work. But yeah, I'm kidding.
I'm psychic.
He works. I just sit there.
I'm psychic. Does
yeah.
he have long black hair?
Yeah, I don't really work. I just take erections all day. I mean, escalations.
Oh,
I take affirmation.
I get greased in the butthole.
Did you guys
hear
did you hear when he said, when Reverend Brad said that he was at one location and a demon was 6 feet from him and ran away from him and he didn't see his face, but it had a long tail with a triangle on the end of its tail? That is straight from, what is that, Nordic mythology?
Well, yeah, that and cartoons.
Have any of you ever suffered the mummy's curse?
My mom was kind of a bitch at one time. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know, but I don't care how much that thing smells. If it says hug, you fucking hug.
Oh, God.
What I can say is this, though, man.
I made a girl say that once.
There's more things in heaven and earth, so, you know, maybe there's a long shot, maybe there's something to it, but
I
don't buy the whole there's no, or the soul goes straight to heaven thing.
He believes that if it's good, it's an angel. If it's evil, it's a demon. And that there is nothing in between. There is no ghost, is what he believes. There is the spirit is processed the minute it dies. It either goes to heaven or hell. And that it's either, if it comes back, it's either a demon or an angel. That's what he said in the last show. And I'm sorry, but that is like against every freaking scripture I've ever seen.
Catholics
even purgatory
anyways.
Yeah, they get to ride in a train in circles with transvestites.
That sounds like a party.
Tuck the wiener bag, baby. I'm coming in.
I personally believe in reincarnation, so. But then again, I also believe this is a virtual universe, so, you know, hey.
We are in the Matrix. The Matrix is fucking at you.
The Matrix is telling my brain this is turkey jerky.
That's why I can't disprove that there is or isn't a God, because if this is the Matrix, then somebody had to have created it. So,
Dave, the Matrix has you, and you can't have your soul back, Dave.
What if God is the Earth, not God made the Earth?
Well, no. Apparently,
then you're getting into Gaianism, and then God is a woman, so.
Why does Earth have to be a woman? That sounds like a guy's name.
Yeah. Well, I jerked off on a guy and off on Earth.
Because the Wiccan say so.
You know, the Bible was edited by the Catholic Church from Dante's Inferno and his depiction of hell. There's no such thing as a fiery brimstone,
hell is translated as cold, dark grave, not fiery pit.
If they want to talk about a fiery pit, that's the fucking core of the earth. You know?
Yeah, I'm dancing in the core, bro.
If I remember right, Dante's Inferno, there was like 12 or 13 levels of hell.
There are 13 levels
nine.
Of hell.
I thought it was 9, isn't it? The 9 circles of hell? I've got the game for 360. I know what's up.
In the game, it's 9, but there's 13 in the Bible, in the mythology. And then there's
what if the game's
that's even different, yeah.
On the story, but it's kind of awkward. I've played it. It's actually a pretty decent game.
But that's where people get their supposed idea of hell. I don't want to be burning for the rest of my life. Think about it. You know, what are the two worst ways to die?
Brian.
What?
Can you get that from him? I don't know what he has.
Hold on a sec, guys. Dakota, no.
Two worst ways
to
die.
Stop teabagging the dog, you fucking freak.
No.
Yeah.
Dakota, come here. I got some peanut butter.
Hey, what would be your two worst ways to die?
Two worst ways to die? Ooh, shit. I would say choking to death is my first one because I have almost done that and it's fucking twisted. And then the other one would be getting fucked to death by like a bus full of gay guys.
See, I was just going to say something similar to that because, you know, drowning or freezing to death is horrible. But then I was going to say that fucking creepy, heavyset, balding lady with receding hairline that I see on occasion late night at the laundromat. God knows if that bitch ever decided to come after me, that'd be horrible.
That's hell. Hell is the worst way to die, and it's dying constantly for all eternity, supposedly. And the worst ways to die are drowning and burning.
No,
drowning,
not for
me. I
think
the Mormons got it right.
For me, my worst way to die is pretty much every day I live. My worst way to die would be to be stuck in a room with someone who just bores me to death completely. Literally, I just stuck there until,
What if there's two of you? What about being locked in a room with you?
I could just kick my own ass.
I'm sorry for all. I'm not gay, but for all those times somebody told me to go fuck myself, I'd have to try it.
With peanut butter.
With peanut butter.
It gets cold.
Oh man, being annoyed to death—that's got to be the worst way to go. Everything else would be pretty much cheese, except
I don't know, because being annoyed to death, death might actually be satisfying at that point.
Cancer and being bored to death, that's got to be my two.
Hey, Ryan.
What's up?
There is a link called DEB in the music. Right when we go to close, I want to play that, and then... Waylon, if you wouldn't mind posting the link to this show, that'd be awesome, dude.
Yeah. Give me the link. I will put that bad boy up.
All right. I'm looking for
I'll spread the good word.
I'm gonna put everybody on mute real quick, and I'm gonna play our sponsor right now.
Oh yeah, almost forgot about that. Shit.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the locations and you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
All right. Well, that was our wonderful sponsor who is actually helping to pay for our network, which is really cool. But Waylon, you're part of a band, right?
Oh yeah, I'm part of two bands.
Two bands.
Guitarist in one, vocalist in another, and Nutcase in both.
Yeah. Do you guys
plug your website, dude. Plug your website real quick.
Yeah, plug it.
Where do I plug it in at?
I'll say it.
Stick it right in.
You can check out Deadbeat at www. www.dedmusic.com. Then press enter.
Wow, you should be a radio.
Oh, it's sick, dude. His site is sick. Awesome. Check it out.
I will check it out.
I don't mean to brag, but it's pretty awesome stuff. I mean, they actually had somebody come back at me for that. They're like, "Hey, you're a fan of your own music. If you don't like your own music, who else is going to like you?"
Yeah, right.
There we go.
Well, in pictures, it says wrong. I point at you while I yell. It almost looks like you're throwing up a Heil Hitler.
The what?
Throwing up a Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler, yeah. I'm looking through your photos right now.
I thought
now. Nowadays
that was called Hail Obama.
Oh, okay. But you want to go ahead and...
They'd come after my ass for that one.
I had to. Sorry.
Yeah, if anybody fucks that up, they're going to see some chick's face.
When the president recently was asked why... he doesn't let the First Lady be too involved with his presidential affairs. He replied, "Because I can do it, Obama self."
I wonder what tribe he's part of.
Oh, shit.
No, seriously, I heard he was from Africa originally, and they have tribes like families. And I wonder what.
Reports of him being bisexual. So.
Yeah, I looked that up. He's part of the Fagarwi tribe.
Fagarwi.
Yeah, Fagarwi. Nobody's seen him in a while. Everybody asks, "Where are the Fagarwi?"
Where Fagarwi?
I don't know, man. I don't got too much good to say about Obama's last 8 years. I mean,
How many presidents before this are there really, you know, anything good to say before you get so far back?
That are worth a damn?
Well, hey, me and Robert...
There was one good one. And, Washington, I think?
I was down with Washington.
Back we had a two-party system, dude.
Yeah, well, I met a Blinken once in a dream, and he liked my acoustic music.
You are
possessed. So he's got my vote.
He wasn't killing vampires, was he?
I hate to say it, but the last president I seen that was worth his teat was Kennedy. Kennedy's the last one I could even think of.
Kennedy? The only reason he got killed is because he wouldn't do what he wasn't acting like a good little bitch that he was. Sorry to say that, but
Kennedy was into a lot of dirty stuff, but you know,
I'm tired.
He didn't want certain.
Is somebody possessed?
Control, so that's why he got knocked off.
I swear, I.
Oh shit, that was a demon being expelled.
Wow. Man, that hurts when you're farting and a peanut comes out. Holy fuck.
speaking of that, to become
president, though, you know.
Well, Robert and I were actually talking about this. We want to see if the myth is true that our phones are actually tapped. I wanna say all the key words that you're supposed to say, you know, you're supposed to not be able to say without your phone getting red flagged, and say them in a way where I want to see if a black van actually pulls up in front of my house. I wanna see it happen because of my phone conversation, which totally violates my constitutional rights.
You're talking like Obama house white go boom boom boom.
Something like that.
I've had a black van. Actually, Dave,
yeah.
right here, me and Dave had a black van out in front of his house for, what was it, a month, because I hacked the FBI website. And I shouldn't have just fucking said that online. Oh, my God.
That was like everybody was hacking government websites on like a once-a-week basis.
Yeah, I know, but they called me back, remember? They called that phone of yours. Fucking, we were shit, dude. That was a long time.
Yeah, but like I said, it's like that was back when the internet was new, and like anybody who had an IQ above 150 could, you know, break into anything.
Are you saying that was back in the 70s?
Hey,
no,
bitch.
In the 80s, actually. The 80s, actually.
Hey, bitch, I'm 37. I'm not fucking 69 or whatever, fucker.
Hey, Apple didn't even have their, you know, even start their stuff up until 76.
Apple.
Okay. And the time that we were doing that was about the time 28.8 modems came out.
Dude.
Internet all the way was like AOL, Comcast, and the hell was that other one?
Hello? Yeah, this is Bigfoot. I just have one.
But, anyways, I just got a message from Reverend Brad. He said, he said, my permission has been granted to be an EMT. I'm not even an EMT anymore. I've got medical skills and everything, but I'm not a licensed EMT anymore.
You got your military papers?
What?
You still have your military papers where you're a medic? You can use those.
I've actually got my national registry. My national registry. I'm a nationally registered emergency medical
sex offender? No,
if they'll let you go, all I can say is go for it. Take as much video and audio as you can. You know, that way you got proof to say, well, if it did happen, you know, you have the video proof. If it doesn't happen, you got proof that he was fucking with you.
Well, see,
either way,
they
can buy you dinner.
I've got to drive.
Still there, Wiley?
I'm going to have to drive 7 fucking hours. And if I get there and it's total bullshit, or he doesn't show up, or some sort of it's fake, you know, that I just drove 7 fucking hours just to be pumped.
Well, I'll meet you down.
That's why I said make sure he buys you dinner.
Down there. It's only 1:15 for me, dude.
Well, then I got to let him call me if he buys me dinner.
Do what?
He just said make sure he buys you
dinner.
There's
a couple guys at work that might want to fuck you, but I don't know.
He's going to go through all that bullshit, man. He should be buying you dinner at least to compensate for the fact that he runs you through all that bullshit.
Oh, yeah. I messaged him. I said, okay, but what about Robert? And he hasn't said anything. So.
Huh?
So you go and get you one of the spy cameras, like, they got on the watches and eyeglasses, and you just stream it live where. And if, you know, and if nothing happens, you got your proof that he's full of shit.
I'm thinking about it, but he said it's Monday. Didn't he say that when he was on the show, that it's Monday or something like that, this coming Monday?
Well, if you can go, I'll meet you down there. Well, that'd be after work, though.
Yeah, well, it's...
I get off at 4, so no big deal.
I don't think on that short of notice I can just get up and drive 7 fucking hours.
You don't
have
a fucking job. What's the difference? You have school, though.
That's right. I keep forgetting I'm a homeless bum or a jobless bum.
And join the club.
Anyways, guys, we need to go ahead and say bye-bye. We're under 5 minutes.
Good play, the DEB.
Yeah,
Thanks for coming on, Waylon.
Does that mean it's over?
Yeah, I'll call. You know what? Next weekend, I'll call you in right at the beginning of the show.
I will try to be available. If I got nothing else going on, I am so totally here.
All right, cool.
Okay. All right, bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the Bunker Boys. I'm
going to
play an artist that is called Deadbeat. Really good music, great stuff. And then after that, I'll intro in and we'll discuss just about anything we discuss on the Debunker Voice. Thanks for listening in.